So it's something that I felt right about the beginning of my holiday. I always try and find and say, Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to say for the new year, for 2026? And just something. And as I've been reading a book and scripture, I found something very, very interesting. I want you guys to turn to the book of Exodus. I spoke to somebody this week, and I said, they can't remember the last time they read out of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. And this is a well-known account of Moses meeting God by the burning bush. And I'm sure most of you have heard this story. The children, you would know the story as well. But I want to pick out a few things from this portion of Scripture. And it says this, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, which is also Sinai. We'll see that just now. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So some people, some very clever people, have tried to explain what Moses saw. So my preacher's name is this. Moses didn't meet with St. Elmo's fire. Now, all those that were born in the 70s are thinking of a song or even St. Elmo's, the pizza place. It's got nothing to do with that. Anybody know what St. Elmo's fire is? Anybody? Wow. This is going to be interesting. Can I show you what St. Elmo's fire is? Let me show you. Can you put that thing up? So St. Elmo's fire is a blue or violet glow of ionized air around objects, usually during thunderstorms. St. Elmo, or St. Erasmus, was actually the patron saint of sailors. Jy moet dit weet. So apparently what happens when the air is laden with ionized air and particles, it appears, you can show the other one. This is on airplanes. This is happening right in front of the cockpit. It looks like lightning. But most of the time you would see it at the top points of a mast of a ship. And it would actually look like, they call it a corona. It's got nothing to do with that thing that happened 5 years ago. A crown. That's what it do. That is. Everybody's like, oh, don't talk about that thing. It's like Voldemort, the name that is unnameable. Corona. Anyway, I didn't watch Harry Potter at all. Anyway, so this happens. Can you show the other one as well? That's not lightning. This happens in the air. So some people say, no, 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 surely Moses saw something like that. Or maybe he saw a bush with red berries on, or he saw something that is glistening like the leaves in the late afternoon sun. Maybe he saw that. That's not what Moses saw. Here's something interesting. Moses was used to bushes burning in the desert. It's a phenomenon that happens. It happened a few years back in Arkansas. I'll name the place as well. I'm just look on my notes.
where a house burned down because of a bush that spontaneously combusted. I lived in Oudtshoorn. I have seen how people combust. No. No. How hay bales, anybody seen that before? How a hay bale can catch a light and nobody put a thing to it because of the heat that is built up inside of a hay bale. So the same thing, Moses is very used to this. I mean, like he would walk, oh, there's a bush burning, there's a bush. But this bush was different because it didn't burn out. It didn't stop burning. And that made Moses think. So he didn't meet with this phenomena. I want to show you something, and I really didn't plan this. Like this whole week, we saw a lot of fire. I want to say CGI and AI has not done us any favor because this is an AI-generated picture of a fire. We're so used to this stuff. We see big explosions in movies and we see all of that stuff, but we don't realize how warm it is. Richard, where are you? Richard's brother's Bucky, the backlight melted from the heat of a house that's burning two houses down. Can I remind you of a story in Daniel? Can I remind you of a story, Daniel chapter 3? Listen to this. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury and the expression of his face was changed. Okay, that happens when you're filled with fury. The expression of your face changes. Against Salsak, Milsak, and Alpokienwach, those guys. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. He ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast him into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks and their tunics, their hats, and the other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. But look at this. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is that it? And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Other guys were consumed by this fire. So this fire that Moses is meeting is not just an ordinary fire. Moses saw a bush that was actually burning, but not burnt up. Many who hate God, they will try and fabricate anything in order to attempt to erase from their mind the possibility that he does in fact exist. They will say, no, it's this, it's that thing. This is, surely is not God. But he is in full control and is fully capable of performing any and every miracle imaginable. And even those things that are not imaginable. So let's get into the portion of scripture here. What did he witness? What about the fire Moses witnessed caused him to take a second look? The bush was burning, but was not consumed. Apparently, like I said, he had witnessed some of these things before. Let's look at what Moses finds, where he finds himself quickly before we continue with the rest of the portion of scripture. In verse 1 of chapter 3, Moses finds himself when he encounters the angel of the Lord. Moses was taking care of business. He was doing day-to-day stuff. He was working. Like tomorrow, most of us are going back to work. This is in his day-to-day job. He was looking after his father-in-law's sheep. Look at what Luke is quoting in Acts chapter 7, verse 30. Now when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in the bush. 40 years he's been doing this. No encounter. He was 40 years. He was with Pharaoh. 40 years in the day. This man is 80 years old. He's just faithful. He's serving. As an aside note, one has to wonder if Moses thought he had no longer a role to play in God's plan. I mean, oh, he's this mighty man for 40 years in Pharaoh's court. Something happens. He kills one of the countrymen and he has to flee. And for 40 years, he's just in obscurity. He's just doing basic stuff. Maybe some of you are sitting here and you've been in ministry, but now you're out of ministry. And you feel like, Lord, do I even have a role to play in this anymore? Have you forgotten about me? Moses moved from the palace to the pastures of the flock of his father-in-law. Maybe you think God has forgotten you. You once served God, but now you feel sidelined. Or maybe some of you are feeling, God, this is a very long delay. I always say to people, God answers you in three ways. Yes, no, wait. God doesn't waste his breath. He says yes, he says no, or he says wait. But you see, it's in the waiting, in the delay, that we start getting edgy. Where we start thinking, but maybe I need to make a plan. Moses wasn't making any plans. So I want to ask, the first thing tonight I want to ask you, are you experiencing right now, are you experiencing a delay in what you thought God was going to do in your life or through you? If you're saying yes, I want to pray for you. Moses experienced, will teach us an important spiritual principle that God's delay does not mean God's denial. Did you hear that? Moses wasn't a forgotten man stuck in some faraway country just looking after his father-in-law's sheep. It was a delay because God's plan wasn't finished. I promise you, like I got saved in 1992. 93, God gave me a word that I will preach overseas. That happened in 2011, 18 years later. And there were many times that I thought, I want to make this happen. I want to do something. God, surely, if I work a little bit harder, if I pray a little bit harder, if I fast, maybe I'll twist God's arm. Do you understand that God works outside the realm of your timing? It's not God's denial. His timing is always perfect, even though we don't understand his delays. See, shepherding sheep in a hot, dry desert was not a waste of time either. For God was training Moses. What did he do straight after this? He had to lead his people out for another 40 years in the desert. So he just traded a bunch of furry sheep for a bunch of obstinate sheep. People. 2 million of them to be exact. That he had to lead out. God was training Moses. Something interesting that you see in that scripture, and he led, it says there, Moses led the flock to the west side. When God puts these things in there, there's a reason why he's telling you. He led them to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Once again, we see God's providence, God's provision, the way that God leads him. God says, I'm going to meet you at that place. Do you think that there was any chance? Like, oh, maybe, well, maybe I should go there. Even Stephen in his preach there in the book of Acts, he says that God led him there. And what does he meet? Who does he meet? He meets the angel. The Hebrew word means the one who bears a message, the one who brings a notice, a word of communication, written or verbal. One that does an errand. The angel means the angel of the Lord. It's not a created angel, as we see. It is God Himself. And most scholars will tell you that this is most probably what we call a Christophany. In other words, this is a pre-incarnation, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. Fire has always been a symbol of God's presence. Always. Fire has always been, as we will see later, as he descended upon Mount Sinai, this very place where he meets Moses, this becomes the meeting place. In Exodus 19, it says this, now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke. Like we saw smoke now. Imagine all of this. Forget CGI. Forget it. Think about what it needs to look like, smell like, feel like when you're on that mountain. Because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. And the whole mountain trembled greatly. This is the God that Moses meets. Point number two. I don't even know. I just have random points. You never know what a day may bring. You never know. So keep your eyes and ears open to the leading of the Lord. Moses was like, ooh, lulu, to the west side I'm going. You know, I don't know if he spoke like that. Let's go. Let's take my father-in-law's animals this way. And something happens supernaturally. Do not miss it, my friends. Look for these moments in 2026. Look for the daily moments of meeting with God. You see, in actual fact, I think it was a little bit, I think Moses was a bit childlike, curious. He was like, oh, that's interesting. This thing is not consumed. Let me turn aside. Let me stop doing what I've been doing and go and have a look. And this changed Moses' life. God calls busy people to serve him. Moses was busy. And he reveals himself to them. Let us not miss God's moments in 2026 because we are trying to be so productive. Productivity for him is great. I want to say this. I felt like this is something the Lord told me. And he said, Stephen, you're so productive. You're so busy. But you miss me. We all want to do stuff for Jesus. But let me tell you, he rather wants us to be with him. We are so busy with the things of God that we forget the God of the things. Intimacy with God rather than productivity for God. I'm not saying don't be productive. I'm not saying be lazy. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but from a place of intimacy, Moses, come here. Let me meet with you, and then I'll send you. We sometimes do things for God without him. Can I say that again? We sometimes do things for God without Him. God's not even in it, but we still do it. Have intimacy first in 2026. Then do stuff. Those are good works that He prepared for us. From that place, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Yo, I haven't preached for like 4 weeks. But here's the thing that happened. Moses, as he's walking, as he's leading the sheep, Moses has to do something. Moses has to stop and turn aside. Move away from your self-reliance. Move away from what you know. Move away from leaning on your own understanding and trusting in your own way. Your own ideas, your own direction. But God, God's given me this purpose. God's given me this ministry. God's done. You know what? God can call you out of that. Hear me. Why? Because He wants you to get on holy ground. We need to sometimes change direction to go towards God and what He's doing. But I have a plan and a purpose, because He promised that to me in Jeremiah 29:11. A hope and a future. I'm going to make it happen. And all He's saying is, come this way. Stop and come this way. Get onto holy ground. Moses left where he was and went to where God was moving. My point, if you miss everything that I've just said, is move away from what you're doing towards where He is moving. Find it. Because Jesus said this. He says, my servant is where the master is. The servant will always find the master. What do you want, Jesus? What do you want for 2026? Not my will, not my way, not my dreams, nothing, God. I want you. Perhaps I need to do the same. I asked the Lord, I said to Him, Lord, maybe I need to do the same. Perhaps I need to stop and turn towards You. Too many Christians who quietly want more of God think they can keep doing what they've been doing, and God will eventually demand their attention if He really needs it. There's a saying that I've heard since I came to Josh Chen 20 years this year. What brought us thus far won't take us further. But if you're looking for identity and for purpose, for an assignment and a calling, you may need to turn aside and go find some holy ground on which to listen to God's voice and see His majesty and splendor. Please note, I want to say this to you, that the adjustment might be inconvenient to you. It might not be nice. It might be a total change of what you thought was going to happen. Take off your shoes. Come to a different place. Walk differently. Walk in a holy way. Maybe your prayer should be this: all I am and all I have needs to be submitted to You, a holy God. Holy ground. God says this is holy ground. What He says to Moses, you are set apart. Because that's what the word holy means. To be set apart. It's a place of humility and vulnerability in God's presence. Can we become humble and vulnerable in 2026? It's a place of respect and a place of reverence where we go, God, fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. That's where we start. If you want to be wise in 2026, get before Him. Hit your face like Moses did and be afraid. Here's something interesting. In Jewish culture, taking off sandals happens when you're consecrated. It happens when you're on holy ground. But in some parts and some places in the Jewish culture, to take off your shoes means you walk into my house, you're at home. What does God say to Moses? He says, Moses, you're at home. Take off your shoes. Some of us need to take off our shoes tonight. God's calling you back home. Some of us need to be set apart. Some of us need to commit our lives. You might have never done this. You might have never given your life to Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Maybe you need to stop on the direction that you are, the trajectory that you are on, to turn aside and see God. I'm almost done. Verse 4 says this. We see Moses' response to God's calling. God only began to speak after he got Moses' attention. You want to hear God's voice? Let him get your attention. Listen. I want to ask you, what are the voices that you are listening to? You see, Adam walked in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve walked in the cool of the day. And they heard God's voice. And then they sinned and they hid themselves. And then they hide in a place. And God walks in the cool of the day. And he's like, Adam, Eve, where are you? It wasn't like God didn't know where they were. And they're like, we are hiding. Why are you hiding? We are naked. This is the second question he's asking them. He says, who told you that? What voice did you listen to? Who told you that? Who told you that? My sheep will hear my voice. They will listen to my voice and obey my voice. You listen to a different voice. Stop listening to the voices of Facebook and Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it today. Doom scrolling, all the nonsense. Pick up your Bible and read. Hear God's voice. Turn aside from this thing maybe in 2026. It's something that I've decided in my heart. I'm like, no, Lord. That thing steals so much of my time. Been listening to way too much voices on here. I want to hear your voice, God. David Guzik said this, God didn't speak to Moses until he had Moses' attention. Often God's word doesn't touch our heart the way that it might because we don't give it our attention. Important to note, another thing, maybe point three if you're making notes. Moses was now an unknown shepherd in an obscure place, but God had not forgotten who he was. And God knows you, and he knows your name, and he wants to have a relationship with you. That's why he says, Moses, Moses, twice. He affirms him. He affirms him. And what will your response be? What Moses' response was, here I am. Here I am. Friends, I want to say this. Is this your answer to his call today? Here I am. Are you available to be used of the Lord in 2026? I pray, let it be so, Jesus, for all who hear this sermon, that we all might be totally, wholly yours. That we will not waste our time. The Bible says redeem the time. In Afrikaans it says koop die tyd uit. Koop die tyd uit. Redeem the time. How do you redeem the time? Lord, let us be continually led by your Spirit for your good pleasure and for your glory, God. And Lord, I pray that in 2026 that we will let our lights shine. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16 says this. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That next verse as well, please. Philippians 2. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. This is Moses, among whom you shine as lights in this world. Are you living, number four, are you living up to the potential of your calling as a holy one? Because that's what God calls him. You're a holy one. When you stand in this place, when you take off your shoes, you are at home, Moses. You're a holy one. A saint. The only way is by learning to rely on the Holy Spirit, to obey his command, to be holy as he is holy. 1 Peter 1, verse 14 to 16. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. The former way of conduct and the way that you walked. But as you have called you as holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We are your holy ones, God.